But you're going to be consistent, right? And the key is to be on the same page with mom and dad, getting on the same page, following through, being consistent. If you're single, it's particularly difficult because as single parents, you got to do this alone, right? And what happens with singles is often you operate out of a sense of guilt, or you can operate out of a sense of trying to be everything, trying to do it all yourself. And the key is you can just be who you are.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a husband and father, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Today's teaching by Dr. Randy is from a larger series called Parents Night Out. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Parents Night Out. Again, we're taking you to the front row as we continue to share with you from this series that I was speaking with several hundred couples at a conference. And many of you have been responding, wanting to receive this on DVD. We'll tell you how you can get that a little bit later in the program. But during that opening clip, you heard me talk about consistency and following through. And for single parents, God love you. We know the challenges that you face. And I think what you're going to hear as we continue today and through the rest of this series, just be the parent that God has equipped you to be. You can't be, you know, somebody else. Your children need you to be the parent that God's equipped you to be, to get into their lives, to know who they are. And remember that you're building, helping them build an identity in Christ. And that's the key. That's the focus. That's the priority of this whole series from Parents Night Out. So let's go to the Parents Night Out session and get a chance to continue to share with you. And again, a little bit later, we'll tell you how you can receive this and other resources to help you be intentional in your walk with Christ. I will give you our website where all the information is available at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right, let's go to Parents Night Out. Over the last couple of years, I've been working on looking at the seasons of life. And in fact, I teach this at some conferences. I taught this at a men's conference a couple of years ago. We got some of the guys here from my church. We got some of the couples that were here from my church where I taught this, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to give a little outline on how the seasons of life matter. I was thinking about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it says that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And I say this because as a parent, you are right in the middle of it right now. If you have a teenager, how many teen parents of teens? You're right in the middle of it. You think there is no future. I mean, this is like it. You know, this is like, purgatory, or this is, you know, and to realize this is a season that you're going to pass through. And one of the things I think it's important for us to see as we go through the seasons of life is that we need to be successful in each of these seasons to be able to move on to the next one. And I break it down into three basic seasons of life. First is the red seasons up until about age 30. And you can see that the challenge in these seasons from the first 10 years and then through the teen years and then through the 20s is finding that we belong, finding what our identity is in Christ, and finding our purpose. Things we talked about a little bit ago, didn't we? About the five things that your kids need to know before they leave home. And one of the things I share with you here tonight is if you're raising children in these decades, to the extent that you know your identity, you know your purpose, and you know that you belong, is going to be the extent that you're going to be able to help your children who are in this stage. One of the reasons we struggle with parenting is we wrestle with the very things that our children are wrestling with and coming to terms with knowing how that works. The next... I think back, before I move on, I think of myself going back in these decades. And one of the things that we look at is childhood memories. Because the memories that you have of your childhood, the home you grew up in, especially in that first decade and part of the second decade, your earliest childhood memories really reflect how you view life today. As we look at thousands of memories, we know that the memories of our childhood reflect how we view life today. You ever noticed when you get together at Thanksgiving here, with your brothers and sisters that their memories of childhood growing up in your home is different than yours? They have a different view of mom and dad and their experiences, and yet they were in the same home with the same parents, same grandparents, same environment, yet their views are different. The reason for that, and this is something you got to think about, it's not so much what happened to us as a child, but it's how we interpret what happens to us as a child. And that interpretation becomes our childhood memory, and the childhood memory then reveals how we view life. Obviously, what happens to you as a child makes a difference. But it's still the interpretation of what happens to you. That's why, for parents, let me say to you as a parent, have you noticed that you're raising children and you're trying to raise them all the same, and yet they're teenagers or young adults, and they look back and they have totally different memories of the home they're growing up in, growing up in your, you know, things that you heard one child say is totally different than another child? That's why we say, don't try to be fair. Don't try to raise all your children the same. They're uniquely different. But childhood memories matter. If we had time tonight and I were to ask you to share your childhood memories with me, some of you would share memories that would reveal exactly how you view life today. Loners tend to have memories of being alone. Detail people tend to have memories that are very detail-oriented. People who are very social tend to have childhood memories that involve a lot of social interaction. If family is really important to you, you tend to have memories of family doing things together. Does that make sense? And so, just a little side note, if you want to know what your children are really thinking and feeling, you've got a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, go home tonight and ask them, tell me, what's your earliest childhood memory? What is it you remember? And listen to the words that they use and the emotions that they use to describe their memory, because it really will reveal how they're viewing life today.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching.
Hey, Mom and Dad, could you use a night out? Well, we can't send you to your favorite restaurant, but we can send you Dr. Randy Carlson's Parents Night Out Conference. This exclusive, fun, and informative conference DVD is yours when you become a monthly member of the Intentional Living Center. Call or go online now, and we'll also send you a great family movie to enjoy for a parents' night in. It's called Old Fashioned, and it's provided courtesy of our friends at Pure Flix. Go online to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717 and press option 4 or online at theintentionallife.com.
You would think twice before taking on a debt of $286,000, wouldn't you?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
Well, millions of Americans do just that every year. Some of them more than once. But I'm not talking about a mortgage. $286,000 is what it costs for a typical family to raise a child from birth to age 18, according to a government study. Of course, the value of a single child far surpasses all the treasure in the world. And what would it be worth, really, if you could break the cycle of poverty, abuse, and neglect that is the fate of so many children? You can, through the miracle of adoption. Maybe for you, radical stewardship is not just about money, but changing the life of a child today and generations to come. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robinson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching from Parents Night Out.
And so, just a little side note, if you want to know what your children are really thinking and feeling, you've got a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, go home tonight and ask them, tell me, what's your earliest childhood memory? What is it you remember? And listen to the words that they use and the emotions that they use to describe their memory, because it really will reveal how they're viewing life today. That's why during these first 30 years of life, I call it the beginning, the learning. These are the years where we're doing the first in life, the first tooth, the first illness, the first failure, the first friends. And then we go through exploration and then into independence. Here's what happens if we're not successful in these first 3 decades. it becomes a problem trying to go into the next 3 decades, right? I'm assuming most of you are between 30 and 60 here tonight. In these 3 decades, it becomes a time of decision-making. This is the time of the midlife crisis in the 40s, typically. And in the 50s, it's a time of learning contentment. The 50s, by the way, is supposed to be the best decade of life. How many in the 50s do we have here tonight? A few of you in the 50s. This is supposed to be the best decade. The 40s is the building decade. It's the midlife. In the 40s, often you're asking the question, is this all there is? Is this it? All that I've worked for, everything I planned, all I hoped for and prayed for and all that, is this it? The 40s is the decade, for instance, of the highest number of affairs in marriage. You know, there's this sense of, you know, is this it? And then, of course, the last 3 decades of life having to do with change and loss. It's a time of transition. Now, the reason I put this up is for this reason. If you're in your 40s and you're in the building stage, this is when you're building your career, you're building your, you know, you've made some decisions and you're really going at it and you're building things, maybe going through a midlife crisis or challenge, trying to sort through, is this it? Did I make the right decision? All that. You probably at the same time have children that are in teens or 20s. And they're trying to figure out their identity and their purpose, and you're trying to figure out your identity and your purpose. You see how that works? And it creates that kind of generational tension. We use this a lot in talking to business people, especially families in business, because you may have the founder of the business that's going through the transition stage of the 60s, where they're trying to slow down, they're going to be more conservative. It's hard to make that transition, where there may be a son or daughter that's in the building or establishing stage. And you start to see the tensions that occur. It can occur at every level, but it certainly can occur when it comes to raising kids. That makes sense? Just understanding it, and you can apply it to your own life in whatever way that fits. You know, when I look back to that, to me, 30s was probably my biggest decade. That was a time I made some really big decisions. That was the decade I decided to go back and finish my education. It was the decade that I decided to start speaking some. It was the decade I really settled in on what God had called me to do as a ministry. It was when I wrote my first book in that decade. And so 30s, how many 30-somethings do you have here tonight? A big decade for you, right? It's a time where you're making a lot of decisions. You're starting to settle in the general direction that you're going to make in your life. And then you can see it goes to building and momentum and so on. But anyway, I share this. I don't have time to go in more detail, but I think it's something that's really worth thinking about, that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And here's the truth. You're going to be in the 60s someday. It's coming. If God tarries and God's will, you're going to be in the 70s someday. And you're going to look back at these other decades and realizing that you're not always going to be in the 30s or always in the 40s, that this process you're going through should give you freedom to say, I'm going to enjoy this. And I look back now on parenting, and you've heard this from all people who have been through it. If I could go back and do it again, you've heard that, right? And they say to you, you're right in your 20s and 30s, you're right in the middle of it with preteens and teens, and they say, honey, this is the best time of your life. You're thinking, it is? This is all there is, you know? And what I'm learning is every season can be the best time of your life.
Boy, that is so true. I'm back here in our Intentional Living studio, and we'll continue with these decades of life coming up here in a day or two on Intentional Living. But we believe that every day, you know, it is a season, and God has given you today to enjoy. And God's given you today, too, to respond, because we really could use your help, and we want to come alongside of you and bless you and your life with this powerful message of intentional living. And Dawn is here, John, I'll give you 60 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Tell them about it.
I can do it. You know, your membership with the Intentional Living Center, it allows us to reach more people than ever before with the message of freedom and transformation that comes from living an intentional life in Christ. And right now, when you become a member, you'll receive Old Fashioned. It's a retro modern love story on DVD. This movie, courtesy of our friends at PureFlix, shows that regardless of past experiences, you can find and create a love that'll last a lifetime. It's a beautiful story for your parents' night in experience. Now, for parents' night out, we want to send you that conference DVD as well. Put you right on the front row with Dr. Randy, Practical Biblical Principles for Parents. That's our way of saying thanks when you become a member with your monthly gift of $25 or even $40 a month. All you have to do is just call us, 888-888-1717, press number 4, 888-888-1717, press number 4, or theintentionallife.com.
And boy, we want to thank all of you who've been responding this month and joining in support, and we're excited to get these resources out to you, including my monthly teaching from Intentional Living. So as Dawn gave us the good word, please respond. We'd love to hear from you today in support of Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
I met people who are in small companies like myself, and I met people who are in large companies, and the interaction and the exchange between them at the conference was amazing.
If you dream of having your own family business or want to strengthen the family business you already have, here's an investment you can't afford to miss. The Thrive Conference for Families in Business, October 26th.
I was able to learn what people had done to grow, and probably the best opportunity was that I got to start printing for people who I met at the conference.
Thrive faculty includes business and relationship experts, names like Dr. Randy Carlson, Dr. Kevin Lehman, and Jerry Colangelo. Invest in your family's future. Experience Thrive, October 26th at Grand Canyon University Arena, or stream the conference online. Go to familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com. Presented by the Intentional Living Center.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I just wanted to leave my comment about how I have been intentional in my role as a mother. Since my children have been young, every time we have a discussion or things just don't seem to be going the way that I think they should, I stop for a minute and I try to remind myself what it was like to be the age that they are now.
As a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability. Things that we're doing to be intentional, my husband and I are the parents of 7 children. One night a month, we pick one child, and they get to pick out where we go out for dinner, what we do afterwards, and just have some intentional one-on-one time with mom and dad.
Parents Living Intentionally. Thank you for sharing your stories. Let's go to Monique, who's on the line that wants to talk with us from New Mexico with a question today. Hi, Monique.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
My question is about my 2-year-old. She is a headbanger.
Oh.
And so she'll bang her head on whatever she can. Sometimes it's when she's mad. Sometimes it's just out of the blue. She also has a problem with biting herself where she leaves teeth marks.
Oh.
And I've tried time out, but when you go time out, she headbangs, and then it's a circle where I just can't stop.
All right, so you've talked to your pediatrician, and what does your pediatrician say?
She'll grow out of it. She hasn't given me any help.
Yeah. Well,
and that's all she tells me. So
is this your only child?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does she get a lot of attention for this?
I tried to help her stop it. Sometimes I ignore it. I've like to, you know, but when I ignore it, it gets worse, and then it, you know, she leaves like welts on her forehead.
Yeah.
So it can go to that extreme.
Is everything kind of okay in the family? I mean, her environment's pretty peaceful and things.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't yell. I don't like to spank. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
She has enough time outside. She's a very rhythmic child, so music is a huge part of her day. So that sometimes that was helping for a while, including music in her day, so she could, you know, you know, dance it out, get out her frustration. But mm-hmm. we go to the park regularly. I mean,
so she does this when she gets frustrated, doesn't get her way, or she's something's not happening the way she thinks it should, and then she does these
yeah.
things, and then you have to get involved and so on. She's 2.5 years old now. Just a couple of observations. You know, I obviously want to keep an eye on this, but there's a lot of parents who would call and talk about having children who do this kind of thing. I think when they start to do that, being able to divert them into something else, you know, hey, honey, let's do this or something. In other words, start moving it in a healthier direction. But if it continues, I think you need to go and go back to the pediatrician and say, it's continuing. Okay, what does this mean? You know, what do I really do? Do I need to talk to someone? Do we need to talk as a family and see what's going on? I think as parents, raising kids is a difficult process, partly because every child is different. And you don't know why one child does something when the next child doesn't do it. And so that's why it's in many ways, you're working off of principles. The principles here would be, is there a lot of frustration? Doesn't sound like it. Is there some things going on in the child's life? You know, from what you're saying, doesn't sound like it. So I think when your child starts to do that, I wouldn't give them too much attention for it, but try to divert them into some other activities and say, okay, let's try this. Let's do something else. Let's go and see what else we could do. But again, you know, I think if it continues, Monique, I think you got to sit down with your pediatrician and say, okay, now let's take it to the next level. What should I do here? Who should I talk to? What kind of help can I get? Because maybe you need to see someone who can help you right there, see the behavior and give you some strategies as it occurs. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Marie on the line in Kansas with a question about bowling.
Oh,
hi there, Marie. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Appreciate your call. What's the question?
My question is about bullying, and it's not the kind of bullying that I expected to deal with as a mom, because it's within our own family,
uh-huh.
sibling to sibling.
How old, what's the age between the two?
The main culprit, I would say, is our oldest, our 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's getting picked on a lot is 5 years old. But unfortunately, some of the older siblings are kind of joining in, too. So they were piling up. We've had 7 children altogether.
Piling up on the 5-year-old?
Right. It's like they just kind of, he started, and then they all got the idea that, you know, he's just kind of a baby, and we can all pick on him. It's open season. And at first, I thought it was just kind of a normal...
Yeah.
Picking at, you know, you're kind of a baby, stop crying, that kind of stuff. But when he came to me one day, the 5-year-old, and said, he said, Mama, you're the only person in this family that loves me.
Oh.
That's when I thought, okay,
sure.
this is serious. He shouldn't feel like that.
No, I agree with you. I agree. Let me ask you a question. It's going to sound strange. How do you think the 5-year-old knows how to push the buttons of the older ones to get picked on?
From what I observe, it is usually he cries. You know, he's quick to cry. If they pick on him or, you know, just make a face at him, he just immediately
mm-hmm.
responds by whining or crying. And so I guess it reinforces this idea. He's just a baby. He's not worth our time.
Yeah, well, he's an easy mark right there, isn't he? Yeah. Well, a couple of things, Marie, is first of all, we set a standard in our family saying, hey, this ain't going to happen, all right? And we sit down with the whole family and set a standard of saying, we don't pick on each other, we're family, and there's consequences for this. Keep in mind, though, and I say this, that whenever we see bullying or we see sibling rivalry in a family, many times, not always, many times, one knows how to get the other one to get going. In other words, the baby of the family, and I'm the youngest in my family, so I know, we know how to push buttons to get our older brothers or sisters into trouble. And so just be aware of that the 5-year-old may not be perfect in this process. And at the same time, you don't want him to be bullied and run over and feel like he's not part of the family. So that's got to stop, and you got to talk to everybody. But keep in mind that this whole family, it's a family affair. So I would encourage you to sit down with the older sibling and say, look, you know, we're family, and in this family, we don't bully. We don't pick on each other. We just don't do that. It's not going to be tolerated. And yes, I know there are things that he can do, because they'll start telling you all the things that he does to get them going, and those need to be disciplined as well if they're legitimate, but to stay focused on, well, I'll deal with him, but I'm dealing with you right now. When these things happen, you're going to be disciplined. It could be time out, could be losing a privilege, could be going to your room, could be any number of things, but at the end of the day, it's not something that we're going to tolerate in this home, and I think getting in the front of this, getting ahead of it is a good thing to do.
Yeah, So for the older children, you mentioned privileges. Would you say in terms of severity, since it happens, you know, multiple times a day, they've gotten into a habit of this, would you try to do some sort of...
Well, what's really important? What's really important to them?
Their video game time.
All right,
they have it just once a week now, so I don't know how much I can, how much leverage I have there.
Yeah.
Just get it one day a week.
Yeah. Well, I think obviously we use things that are important to kids and saying, hey, we're family, and if you can't respect each other in the family, and we're not going to have fun times and... But wait for something. Maybe he's going to come and ask you to do something for him or make him a special meal or take him someplace or do something, because kids do that. And say, you know, frankly, the way you've been treating your brother and each other, I'm a little tired of it. We're not going to do that special thing tonight or that dessert I was going to make. Not as punishment, but just as a reality. The reality is we're a family. We cooperate. We do things together. But when there's a lack of cooperation, lack of working together, then there are going to be consequences for him. And I think that's really at the end of the day what being intentional is all about. Thank you, Marie. Appreciate your call.
I ran to the upstairs to a girl.
Is she a pretty girl?
So this theory of yours, I'm curious.
I don't believe that dating trains us to be good husbands and wives. Trains us to be skilled and superficial.
Who talks like that?
Why don't you just crawl back under that cute little antique shop and make up some more theories you never test out at the grown-up table anymore?
I came here ready to forgive you no matter what.
You make it sound so easy.
You make it sound impossible.
All I want is for you to tell me how I make you feel.
Wow, that's a trailer from the old-fashioned movie that we've
great.
Been talking about.
Yes,
here.
Great movie.
And we only gave you 30 seconds
that's
of
it.
The
that's
whole
all
movie.
That's all you get.
But listen, we have a very special opportunity and offer for you today.
That's right. You want more than 30 seconds? We've got it for you on DVD. We'd love to send it to you with our thanks for becoming a member of the Intentional Living Center. Someone who is a member gives an amount every month, up to you. Many people do $25 or maybe $40 a month. But again, the amount is up to you. But we want to say thanks with that old-fashioned movie on DVD, courtesy of our friends at PureFlix. Now, in addition to that movie, sort of your parents' night in, if you will, we also want you to put you in the front row at Dr. Randy's Parents Night Out Conference, and we're going to send you that DVD as well. Just two great movies or experiences, I should say, to say thanks for becoming a member. And we also want to mention, Dr. Randy, that they'll get your monthly coaching CDs every
mm-hmm.
single month.
They will. Every month we get a chance to teach here with the staff, and you hear excerpts on the air, and we want to get it to you automatically. Monthly
right.
members, you don't have to call or ask for it. It comes to you every month automatically.
Right. Go to theintentionallife.com to join as a member. Or you can also see clips from Old Fashioned, watch the trailer, and also see a clip from Dr. Randy's Parents Night Out event. But go to our website, theintentionallife.com, or give us a call to become a member. 888-888-1717 and press the number 4.
Very good. Thank you, Dawn. And we'll continue with Parents Night Out over the days ahead here at the Intentional Living Center. When you're at our website and joining in support of the ministry, check out the Thrive Conference for Families and Business. You've been hearing about it. It's coming up in Phoenix and being streamed worldwide. And believe it or not, we're only about 10 days away from this very special event. So check it out at theintentionallife.com. And tomorrow we'll be here live in the studio taking your questions. So I hope you'll join us.